When the roll is called up yonder, is your name on the roll today? Because if it ain't on the roll, you need to get right with God. You need to get right with the Holy Spirit. You need to get right with Jesus Christ. He is the only way out of here. Okay? Otherwise, you ain't going out of here. You're going somewhere else. We don't want that. Listen, get signed up and volunteer at least one night for a community revival. You know, they got little t-shirts that they're going to be putting together. It's called My Community Revival. This is your community, right? Let's get involved. Let's be a part of what God is doing in something outside the walls of this church. Because He is. He has brought some cohesion and some unity amongst pastors, amongst lay people, amongst congregations. And they're working together to see the kingdom built. To see the kingdom come one day, you know. Lord said when everywhere all over the world that this gospel is preached, He said, look out. Look out, because I'm coming. One day He is coming, whether you believe it or not, whether you want to believe it or not, He is coming. That's just like this word right here. It's the truth and nothing but the truth, whether you believe it or not. Amen. It is the truth. But if you get into it, then you'll figure out how much truth that is in the truth that will speak to your heart. And then the other thing, Sunday school. Let me tell you something about Sunday school. You know, you come in here, you're going to listen to me preach. You're going to tell whoever's behind this pulpit. You're going to listen in to preach for a conviction upon your heart to prod you to doing some more, to getting into working for God. But I'm going to tell you what, Sunday school, Bible study, that's where you learn God's ways and God's word. And you apply it to your heart, to your life, to your family, to your community. I can't say enough about Sunday school. Listen, all you need to do is just get up an hour earlier and you can be here an hour earlier and then you can go to Sunday school. Easy deal. You know, even if you show up at 10:15, I'll go 15 more minutes, John. Come to Sunday school. I'm going to tell you what, you can never go wrong studying God's Word. That's where you're going to learn about Him, and you're going to learn about what you need to be doing. You'd be surprised how He'll speak to you just from a little Sunday school lesson and show you things that you need to know and things that you need to be involved in. So let me encourage you to do that. Come on Wednesday night. And I'm going to tell you what, October the 6th, we're going to start a Sunday night service. Come. What else are you doing at 6 o'clock on Sunday evening? Let's go to church. Let's hear from God. Let's come together. You see, it's not all just about the preaching. It's about the unity of the body. That way we are unified in everything that we do, whether it's in the preaching of the word or if it's in communion, which we're going to have here in just a little while, or if it's in the relationships that we develop between each other. You see, those are very necessary in the kingdom of God because then we get to know each other on a much more intimate basis than just, hi, how you doing? Therefore, we can work together and be more effective. So having said all that, everybody turn with me to Psalms 91. Y'all know Psalms 91? Anybody ever study Psalms 91? That's your 911 book. You need help? Turn to Psalms 91. 911. Oh, David talks about safety in abiding in the presence of God. That's where your greatest safety is. I've told y'all before that the safest place that you'll be in this church is in these altars. That's where you meet with God. You can meet God right there on the pew, but I'm going to tell you what, there's nothing like a bended knee, if you can still bend your knees, which I can't hardly do that anymore. But anyway, on a bended knee, at least bent in the spirit, bent in the presence of God, that humility that we should have before Him. You know, there's only one acceptable fear in the kingdom of God. You know what that is? The fear of God. That's the only acceptable fear, because He tells us more than 300 times in the Word of God, do not fear. Do not be afraid. Have no fear. Turn to me. Trust in me. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. So in the presence of God, there is no fear in His presence. Let's start with verse 1 there. It says, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. In the secret place of the Most High. I'm going to tell you what, y'all already know what that secret place is, whether you visit it or not. The secret place of the Most High is when you shut everything else out and you get alone with Him. That is the secret place of the Most High. Can I tell you that if you'll give Him your full focus and your full attention in the secret place of the Most High God, He will speak to you and change your heart. He will change your life. He will encourage you. He will lift you up. He will show you things that you have never seen and make you to understand things that you have never heard. We've been talking about the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit on Wednesday nights. And that spirit of discernment is one of those things. It is a gift from Holy Spirit to whom He will give it to. And that gift of discernment will help you along to know those who are around you. It will also help you to know things that you did not know and you were never taught. But it will quicken your spirit. So dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God. It can sure be a fun time too. Serving time with your Father. You ought to try that sometime. Just start, I'll tell you this short little story. I knew a lady one time that she was little on the heavy side, but she got cancer and she withered down to about 90 pounds. And she sought the Lord for healing and sought the Lord for healing, and she had people in churches praying for her, and her husband was pastor. And he prayed for her, and everybody prayed for her every way that they knew how to pray for her, quoting God's word over her day and night, night and day. And she said, one morning I woke up and I decided that God wanted me healed, because everything in the Word of God says, I am the Lord who heals you. I am your Father. I only want those good things for you. So she began to stand totally on that word of healing. And of course, the last time I saw her, she said, you wouldn't believe that I used to weigh 90 pounds the way I look today. She was what my grandmother would classify as being very healthy. But she began to stand on that. And she would cry out to Abba Father. She would say, my Father. And then she would just say, my Father. My Father which is in heaven. My Father who heals me. My Father. Turning to Him in that secret place. And the Lord touched her and healed her body, killed every bit of that cancer, cancer free. My Father, in that secret place, in that secret place of prayer, in that secret place that nobody knows anything about but you and Him. I told you before, When you get used to walking in the presence of God and He is walking in you, you can be all alone with Him in a crowd of people. You can hear His voice over the roar of the multitudes around you. And He can speak to you loud and clear. In the secret place of the Most High God, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Can you get a picture of that? You ever been in an area where there were tall buildings? Or say just a tall forest line and you're out in the middle of the field, but as you walk toward those trees and the sun's setting in the west, and all of a sudden you walk into that shadow. You just came out of that sunlight and you're walking over into that shadow. And those towering trees in front of you, I got some that are 120, 130, 140 feet around my property. And I can see that shadow come every evening when the sun sets over in the west. And it creeps across that hayfield. And I think about the awesomeness of God, the bigness of God, the hugeness of God. As you see this shadow creep across. Can you imagine? You're standing under the shadow of the Almighty. Can I tell you that there's peace and protection in the shadow of the Almighty? In that secret place where He is, that you learn how to dwell there. You learn how to live there. There is peace and safety in that. And more than anything in this life, that's what we need, is a sense of peace and safety and knowing Jesus Christ, knowing God the Father. We have that peace and safety. We do not have to fear what man will do. We do not have to fear what the government will do. Tommy, that was very prophetic this morning. You were talking this morning in Sunday school. He had no idea where I was going. Talking about that peace and that safety, having no fear of anything. Because God is on your side. And you stand by His side, under the shadow of the Almighty. How huge can that be? What a picture that the Scripture paints of the awesomeness of God. Man, I'm going to tell you what, it's just more than I can fathom sometimes. It's more than my little finite brain can even understand sometimes. Just standing in awe of Him. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Man, I'm going to tell you what, if that don't make your hair stand up, I don't know what will, even if you don't have no hair. That right there will make goosebumps on your goosebumps. It does for me. You just can't hardly wrap your mind around how big that actually is, how awesome that actually is. I'm telling you, serving God ought to be a field day. Serving God ought to make you as more happy than you've ever been in your life. To live in His presence. To know His eternal life. And I'm going to tell you what, that's why the Bible says that God's people are happy people. Because when you abide in those kinds of things, you can't help but be happy. You can't help but be elated at it. What do you have to fear when you dwell in the secret place of the Most High God under the shadow of the Almighty? Man, I don't know how I can paint a bigger picture than that, other than you read some more scripture. It says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. He is my place I can run to. He is the one that I can always go. He never turns me away. Never. No matter how stupid I have been, He never turns me away. No matter how unworthy that I might feel, He never turns me away. Man, I'm going to tell you, you can't get any gooder than that. That's maybe not good English, but it sounds good. You know, you can't get any gooder than that. He never turns me away. He is my refuge. He is my fortress. He's the one that protects me. You know, I can't tell you how many close calls that I ever had in my life. I'll tell you about one when I was an unbeliever. I climbed to the top of a 24-foot extension ladder that was leaned up about this angle on the side of a building to change a light bulb that was about 5 feet above the top of that ladder. So I had to literally stand on the top of this extension ladder flat up against the wall to reach up and turn the light bulb. And I put the new light bulb in and I dropped the old light bulb and I turned around like I was stepping off. And something came up behind me and pushed me back up against that building. As a believer, I know what happened then. But then it just scared me to death, and I really didn't understand. I don't know if y'all have ever had any experiences like that, any near death, any near misses. But I'm going to tell you what, God is your fortress. He protects you from yourself sometimes. I know He protects me from myself. I put myself in all kinds of bad situations through the years. I've hurt myself in all different kinds of ways, and God continues to help me limp along. Literally. Limp along. In spite of myself. So I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my God. He is my God. He is my Father. Man, you need to set yourself on fire with this word. People will watch you burn. They'll look at you maybe at the first time like you got an extra hole in your head, but after that, you keep on keeping on and you're doing the same thing every day and you're always the same. Every time they see you, they're going to pay attention to what you're saying. They're going to finally come ask you, what on earth do you have that I don't? And then you're going to get to say, well, I'm glad you asked. If you got an hour or so, let me talk to you. Let me tell you about the Lord of my life. Let you talk, not just my Savior, but my Lord and my Savior. The one who leads me, guides me, protects me. He is always right there with me. He is never against me. He is always for me. He is my fortress. He is my God. He is my God. And then it says, in Him I will trust. In Him I will trust. We don't put our trust in man or the governments. We don't put our trust in the things of this world, because I'm going to tell you what, this stuff is temporary at best. It's temporary. Lily already knows the song she wants sung at her funeral. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. I'm waiting on them angels. They're going to be standing at the door saying, come on, come on, come on. Isn't that going to be a wonderful day? Man, that's going to be an awesome day. In Him, I will trust. You see, He's not looking for a part-time trust. He's not looking for a Sunday morning trust. He's not looking for a Wednesday trust. He's looking for an all-time, every-time trust. The problem is we forget. You ever had a problem with forgetting? Even though we know the truth, sometimes we forget. I told y'all before about that old preacher told me, he said, I got five things I tell you about people. They're fickle, foolish, fretful, forgetful, and fearful. If not one, all five. You see, that's what happens. We do not remember, lest we forget. we stay in this word to continually remind us. In him I will put my trust. In him is life and life eternal. In him is salvation alone. In him. Not in man, not in the government, not in our guns, you know, not in any of this temporary stuff that's all going to burn up and blow away. Or Pastor Glenn used to say it's going to burn off going down or fly off going up. I mean, you know. It's temporary. It's temporary. Put your trust in God. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. In other words, you know something? There's a lot of traps out there, folks. Some of them are deadly traps, and some of them are just live traps. They're going to keep you alive, but you in the trap. They're going to keep you miserable because you stay in the trap. Anybody still got my peanut that I passed out here several weeks ago? Y'all remember the peanut? That's a trap. That's a trap. It will keep you trying to straddle the fence. Let me tell you something. You can't straddle that fence. You either in or you're out. You either is or you ain't. You either going or you ain't going. One of the two. It's either heaven or hell. One of the two. That's it. There's no other choices. Except that you get to make the choice. I tell them at funerals all the time. He said, you know, can't do nothing about this person in this casket, but I'm going to tell you what, you got a choice. You got a choice. Yeah. So surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. Anybody ever been in some pestilence? Pestilence is not pestering, although I've been in some pestering before. Pester you till you do something. Pestilence sort of sounds like the Bible's description of hell to me. Endless falling, endless heat, endless darkness. Endless pain. Something that just totally messes your life up. But I can tell you that if you'll trust in God, he can bring you through that into the light of day with him in that perilous pestilence. And then verse 4 says, he shall cover you with his feathers. Y'all ever seen an old mama hen cover up them biddies in a storm? The wind come up and get the blowing, and them little biddies are running around, and they'll run to mama, and she'll hunker down over them and put them feathers out over them and protect them. I don't know if y'all ever seen that, but that is an awesome sight of what God can do for us if you will run to him. If you will trust in him. You see, them biddies, they don't know any better than to trust mama. You see, we ought to be that way. We ought not know anything else but Jesus Christ and him crucified. We ought to know anything else except that God, our Father, loves us. And if we only dwell on that, we're going to run to him every time. Not to men, not to women. Not to the government. We're going to run to him. We're going to run to his word. We're going to run to the truth. Because he is the truth. Under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. Now, a buckler is just a smaller shield, but a shield. You know, there's a place in the word of God, and I forget the scripture, but it talks about that shield being like a door, as big as a door. Well, you know, most of us can stand behind a door and you couldn't see me. Did you know that's what God does for you in a time of trouble? There's been plenty of instances around the world in our persecuted brothers and sisters where the enemy was totally blinded from seeing their activity of working for Jesus. Blinded eyes. You couldn't even see them. Be like old Paul, you know. It'd be like that one sorcerer that wanted that gift to lay in own hands that they would receive the Spirit. And what old Paul said, he said, you sorcerer, you son of the devil, you're going to be blind for a season. Had somebody leading him around. Well, I tell you what, I want to be hidden by that big old shield of God. I want to be able to walk up behind it and no one else sees me but him. And then when you walk out into that light, when you're walking with God and you're covered by the blood of Jesus, they only see Jesus. They don't see you. Because if they see you, they may not believe it. But if they see Jesus all the time, I guarantee you, even the unbeliever will start to believe. Because you are the same way every day, all the time, never changing. That's who Jesus is, right? That's who God is. Same yesterday, today, and forever. He's always the same. So you see, we need to learn how to abide in the shadow of the Almighty. We need to learn how to abide underneath His wings. That word abiding means I live in Him. I don't live for me. I live in Him for Him. And when you do that, you're going to find out that you can totally trust Him. You can totally trust Him. Not a part-time trust, but an everyday trust, every moment, every second trust. A trust that goes far beyond this world. Because you see, everything of Him is simply out of this world. You think about that. All the goodness, simply out of this world. That's how, if we can contain that within us with Holy Spirit, with the fruit of the Spirit, and then throw in some gifts of the Spirit, people only see Him, they don't see us. They only see who He is through us. You see, we are His feet. We are His hands. We are His mouthpiece. If we will be, and if we will abide. I got one more scripture that we're going to talk about this morning on abiding. Turn with me to John 15. Y'all are very familiar with this scripture. Here in a minute, we're going to take time and have communion with each other. And then we're going to have some communion with Jesus. We're going to take some time to have communion with Him. First, we're going to take communion with each other to remember Him. And then we're going to have communion with Him for just a little while. Actually, you need communion with Him all the time, do you not? But then there are those special times, special moments, special experiences. Hold them near and dear to you. When you have those special moments and those special experiences. Because sometimes those are the things that will carry you through that time of a perilous pestilence when you can't see the other side and you trust in Him. So John 15 verse 1 says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes. Any of y'all know what pruning does? makes for a healthy plant, for one thing. It don't leave anything dead hanging around on it. It makes for a healthier root system because there's less dragging on the roots, and the roots become healthy and they become more firmly implanted. And then the other thing that pruning does is makes more room for the good branches to bear fruit. It strengthens the plant. You see, you are a plant of the Lord to be strengthened, to be pruned, to bear fruit when we abide in Him. You see, the key is abiding in Him. Not in ourselves, not in anything but Him. We abide in Him. Verse 3 says, you are already clean because of the Word. The Word. You can become clean. You become washed in His Word. You're being covered in His blood for the remission of your sin. Washed clean. Only when you abide in Him. Abiding in Him, living in Him is everything. It's your life. It's life eternal. It's how you will live here and then you get to live forever there. That's the whole goal. You're already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me. And I in you. Live in Him as He lives in you. Live in Him. Learn to live the way He wants you to live, not the way you want to live, not the way circumstances dictate to you, because there's always distractions out there that want to dictate things to you. Be sensitive to the moving of His Spirit in your heart and in your life. He'll show you some things if you will. You'll learn some more about living in the Spirit if you will. Walking in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit. Abide in Him. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. You cannot bear the fruit that God wants you to bear unless you abide in Him. Unless you live in Him. You will never reach your full potential in the Spirit unless you abide in Him. I don't know about y'all, but I want everything that He's got for me. And I know that I have not even yet begun to have everything that He's got for me. But I'm after Him. I want what He has. I want what He wants for me. I want to make myself available to Him. And then I make myself available to people. If I can't make myself available to Him, I ain't never going to do it for y'all. I ain't never going to do it for anyone else. I make myself available to Him. He's the one that speaks to my heart and changes my life. He came to me a long time ago and spoke that into me. He's the only one that can do that. Everything else is temporary. That's forever. That's for eternity. And then it says, neither can you unless you abide in me. Now, verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. And the last part of verse 5 says, without me, you can do nothing. Now, he's not talking about going to work. Not talking about baling hay. You know, he ain't talking about raising animals. He ain't talking about working in your business. You can do nothing that He wants you to do without Him. You can have a good game. You can have a good spiel. You can have all the eloquent words in the world. But without him, that's all that you have. So you see, with him, you also get the baptism of fire, and you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You get the baptism in fruits of the Spirit, with gifts of the Spirit, that you learn to walk closer to him and abide in him. We're going to walk real close to him here in just a minute when we receive communion. But John, why don't you come up? Joe, we have ushers for communion. Yeah, come on. While y'all are coming and hold up. First of all, y'all know there was John the Apostle. And then there was John the Baptist, and then there's John the Preacher. Because if y'all don't know, our brother John here has got a call on his life to preach this gospel. Okay? And we're gonna pray over him before we leave out of here today. All right? John's going to help me this morning. You know, Scripture says, Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. His finished work on the cross, his body broken, his blood shed for healing and remission of sin, his sacrifice for all who will believe on him to have eternal life. That's the reason why we do this, is to remember him. We remember what he did and how he did it, all for us. All for us. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26 through 30, do not do this in an unworthy manner. Do not do this because you are hungry. If you're hungry, and that's the reason why you're taking communion, you're taking it in the wrong light. You're taking it for the wrong reason. So let's not do it because we're hungry. It says you'll be guilty of the body and the blood of Jesus, taking it in an unworthy manner. Examine yourself. Okay, we're going to take a few moments. And I want you to bow your hearts with me. And I wanted you to examine yourself. Examine yourself today. If there's anything there that you need to get rid of, you need to get rid of it right now before we receive communion. Okay? Let's just take a few moments. Father, I ask you, Father, to just examine my heart today, Lord. There be any wicked way within me, Lord. There be any stumbling block in my heart, Lord. There be anything, Father, that is not of you, Lord. Let it be cast away, Lord, right now. Lord, I repent of it. I confess it. And, Lord, I put it under the blood. For that's the only way, Lord, that I can truly be rid of it and come into a right relationship with you. And, Father, I just give you praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you've done that, let me go a little bit further. He says, if you do this and you're guilty of that, for this reason, you could be sick, you could be weak, or you could be dead. Read the scripture. I want y'all to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and read that. Okay? If you need forgiveness for sin, you need to get it under the blood right now. All right? If you need salvation, you need to ask Jesus into your heart. Anybody need salvation? Everybody in here saved? Everybody know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? You see, it's more than just remembering Jesus. It's making sure that you're right with him to receive these sacraments. So we've done this. So what we're going to do is we're going to pass out communion there, Brother Joe.